Today I want us to go to Ephesians, the second chapter. And I actually want to talk about the last part, but I just want to go through the first part of that chapter a little bit to begin with. Last time we gathered together, Ephesians 2, we talked about life and the fact that Jesus had come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And in the second chapter of Ephesians, which is a book that is written to a mature church, begins by telling us, "You hath been, and you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins." Actually, he made alive with those of us who were quickened or slain by our trespasses and sins. And notice also the fact that this is in the past tense. You know, we made the statement that we need to begin to understand what God is saying about us and what he is saying that has already been accomplished about us. Here he tells us that he hath made us alive. And in verse 2 he says, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world." And you see, when God is talking about us, one thing I want to do in these first few verses is to show you, Corinthians tells us that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. And we know that Scripture, a lot of times Scripture is taken on two different levels, the natural and the spiritual. And the last part of this verse can definitely be taken both ways. But I've always thought that God had something more for us in this second chapter of Ephesians. God's called us out of darkness and into his glorious light. And the word tells us that while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. And here he tells us that he's made us alive. And in verse 4 he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he has loved us." You know, I think that as we're in the walk that we're in, that we have come to see and to understand a portion of the love of God that he has for us. That his love is unconditional. That God so loved the world, you and I, that he gave his uniquely begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here he says that his great love wherein he loved us, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love which he loved us. You see, we're coming back into or entering into that spirit realm. And God is all the walls are being broken down that have been built up in our lives all these years. We've all had them. We've been taught, or I was, and most of us were taught from our Sunday school and from our upbringing of a wrathful God, a God of vengeance, a God that was just waiting to pounce on you if you did wrong. He was used in various ways to tell you, "Well, if you don't do what I tell you to do, God don't love you." But we see a different God. A God of love, a God of unconditional love, in that he willingly gave his Son. But then the word says it was God in Christ. Christ was very God. God was in Christ reconciling the world back to us, back to himself. And the verse I quoted a while ago is verse 5, that even, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive in fellowship and union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. Notice that. He gave us, past tense, the very life of Christ himself, the same life with which he quickened himself, for it is by grace, his favor, through his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you were saved, delivered from judgment, and made a partaker of Christ's salvation. You know, that's very interesting, that he gave us the very life of Christ himself. See, we're seeing these things, and once we see them, and once we hear them, and once we begin to meditate on them, that word becomes alive within us, and we begin to walk in that realm. If we waited until we walked in it to speak it, we'd never get there. Because there is a growth process in God, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That this is a life of growth, and that growth comes through revelation and hearing the Word of God and understanding. And that's why I've been saying to begin to listen to what he has said about us. Ephesians 1, and we've talked about that so many times. I think it's so wonderful to understand that God chose us in himself before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. That's to me, that is absolutely glorious to realize that the Almighty Creator, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God, chose you and I in himself. But think about this, he didn't qualify that. He chose all creation in himself before the foundation of the world. And they just don't realize it yet. And here he tells us that he gave us the very life of Christ, with which he had quickened him, and he delivered us from judgment and made us partakers of Christ's salvation. And in verse 6 he says, and has. That's past tense. It's not something future. He's raised us up together with him and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, he raised us up with him and made us sit down and give joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of being in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So in actuality today, we are seated with him in heavenly places. You see, when we begin to see these words and begin to understand them, and then we begin to walk in them, and we begin to realize it. God is birthing a son in this hour in the earth to be manifested into creation. And things that God does, he doesn't do it lightly, nor does he do it fast, nor does he do it by our timetable. We look at it and say, oh God, how long? You know, we see these things. When are we going to experience the reality of it? But it is a progression, a growth into an understanding, an unfolding of the Spirit of God and of his Word within us, that as we understand it and as the revelation comes, our mind, our soul, our heart is being transformed, is being metamorphosed into that God has called us to be. Because all of this thinking, in fact, the Word says that the only place we've ever been separated from God is in our mind. Because of what man thinks, because of what he's taught. But what we've been taught all these years, that God is against us, that God is ready to pounce on us. But it's totally different from that. That he has raised us up. You see, God does not look at this flesh and blood. He sees the Spirit. And he knows that the work that he has begun in us, he is going to finish it. And he's going to bring it to completion. You see, he started a work in each one of us. And he is going to bring that work to completion. So he sees us already seated with him in the throne. But many times we see ourselves as a human being, a frail human being that is sinful and alienated from God. And that is so far from the truth. I mean, how many times have I beat myself up over the years because I did not come up to the teaching of the religious system that I was in? And if people are honest with themselves, they don't come up to that either. Even those that are preaching that message. I remember one denomination that we were in that at their meetings or conventions, there was nothing but politics going on. On the podium, they were talking about, they were praying over these decisions and all. But when you're as a minister behind the scenes, you knew what was going on. And it bothered me to see those things. And it bothered me because I couldn't fit in. Rose and I never could fit in with that. Because God had predestined a different walk and a different plan for us. And thank God for the day that we saw and realized that our walk was not their walk, and it was a different walk. That God does not look on the outward, but he looks on the inward man. That is eternal in the ages. That was with him before the foundation of the world. And now he's bringing forth a son in the earth that is patterned after his uniquely begotten son, Jesus Christ, that will be clothed upon with that same body, that same immortal body that Jesus had. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. And because he lives, we shall live also. And then in verse 7 he says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now, he raised us up and seated in heaven from places, and he did that he might clearly demonstrate to the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ. What kind of a God does that sound like? That surely does not sound like the vengeful, wrathful God of judgment that we've been taught. That is a God of love, that he might demonstrate through the ages to come. That's interesting, isn't it? Through the ages to come, his immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace toward us. And in the verses 8, 9, and 10 are verses that most Christians can speak, that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. And then in verse 10, I like that song, that verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We have been created unto good works, which God hath before ordained, predestinated that we should walk in them. You see, we've always heard, more especially where we came from, Rose and I came from on the Wednesday night testimonies, the devil jumped on me Monday morning and I've had such a terrible week. Oh me. How horrible it is to live this Christian life. But you know, the reason that it's horrible, or the reason that people have trouble with living a Christian life, is because they are trying to live it by the law. And the letter of the law is death. No man can live that law. That law is, according to Galatians, brings us to Christ. It is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. And so here he tells us that he has predestinated, ordained us, that we should walk in them. In the Amplified it says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those things which God predestinated, planned beforehand for us." How plain can that be? I mean, even the Amplified Bible tells us that God predestinated and planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. You know, sometimes I wonder, well, Lord, why do we complain? Like I do when it's cold, and I quit complaining when it gets hot. But, you know, why do we complain about the things that touch our lives? Because God has planned ahead and predestinated for us, taking paths which he prepared, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live in. You see, it's just as sure as we're sitting here this morning that the work that God has planned and the purpose that he has predestinated for our lives is going to be fulfilled and brought to fruition is just as real as we're sitting here this morning. And that's why he's telling us these things, so that we will understand and know that what's going on in our life is working for our good, that is going to produce a sun in the earth that is going to set creation free. God is bringing us into that spiritual realm to understand the work that he has accomplished within us. I mean, we can approach God. He loves us so much. His love is unconditional. He puts no condition on his love. He reconciled the whole world back into himself. He doesn't deal in good and evil. The night is the same as is as the light to him. He loves his creation unconditionally. Amen. And he came and walked on this earth and so identified with man. And he understands everything that we're going through with. And he's promised us that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that he'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the ages. And it's predestinated. He has planned beforehand the paths which we take. He has prepared ahead of time, and that we should walk in them, living the good life. Now, in verse 11, from 11 on to the end of the chapter, I believe that this can be taken two ways. On the surface, looking at it, Paul is talking about the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. But I believe that there is a message on the spiritual level that we could understand. He says, remember, wherefore remember, that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision made in the flesh. Remember that you were Gentiles, heathen in the flesh, called uncircumcision, and that at that time you being without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in Christ. You see, this is the natural, that the Jews had the promises of God. The Jews had all of the blessings and all of the benefits. And the Gentiles were alienated from God. But, you know, the thing that I see is God's bringing us into a new understanding, that this flesh that we are living in, we've always condemned it. We've always put it down. But you know, here in the Amplified Bible, it says, remember that you at that time, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in Him, utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation, and strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the Messianic promise, with no knowledge or right in God's agreement, His covenants, and you had no hope, no promise. You were in the world without God. You know, that's our very experience before He made us alive within Himself, before He awoke us to the realization that we were His children, before He began to reveal His Word in us. We were totally in our minds. We were separated. We were alienated. We had no promise, and we're in the world without God. But in verse 13, He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By His blood, we have been made nigh. We have been brought in to the fellowship of Him. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. For He is our peace, our bond of unity and harmony. He has made us, both Gentile and Jew, one body, and has broken down, destroyed, abolished the hostile dwelling wall between us. Now, you know, we try to separate the mind or the soul or the flesh and the heart from the flesh realm. But you know, that separation has already been destroyed in Christ. God's already brought us into Him. Jesus Christ walked in this flesh, and do you realize that He never condemned this flesh? I don't ever remember where it says that He condemned His flesh. Now, Paul talked about it. But Jesus Christ has broken down that middle wall, or that wall of partition, that separation between the natural and the spiritual. We're walking today in a spiritual walk, even though we're living in this natural world. What God has done for us, He made peace. He broke down the wall. And in 15 it says, having abolished in His flesh the enmity. Now that word in the Greek is hatred. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinance for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. By abolishing in his own crucified flesh the hatred caused by the law with its decrees and ordinance, which he annulled, that he from two might create himself one new man, one new quality of humanity out of two, so making peace. You know, I'm talking about this today, and I'm sitting here wondering in myself, Lord, what am I doing? Because what I'm seeing is that he annulled the law and its decrees that he might create in himself one new man. Now, he could not create Jew and Gentile as one new man. But he can create spirit, soul, and body as one new man. God has broken down the walls that separate. And I'm beginning to wonder, and of course I'm just speculating now, so don't hold me to it. I'm beginning to wonder if we're seeing the total picture. Because we are separated, spirit, soul, and body. But here it says that God is making one new man. God is bringing forth a son in his image. And for some time I have made the statement that I did not believe that him bringing forth a son, he would zap us, or that it would be something that would be instantaneous, but it would be a process that would be as natural as us breathing. We are spirit beings. We have got to begin to look at ourselves as God's son. Not just part of us, but the whole totality, well, hallelujah, of who we are. We are his son. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are his offspring. That as he is, so are we in this earth. And he said that in 1 John, he says, when we see him, we shall be like him. And Corinthians talks about that when the last trumpet or the last message goes forth, that this corruptible, this mind, shall put on incorruption, and this mortal, this body, shall put on immortality. God has broken down the walls that are between the spirit, the soul, and the body. And he is making one new man. And I believe that we're going to have to begin to look at ourselves as a son in totality. Not to look at our spirits and say, well, our spirit's redeemed, or our soul is not, or our body, look at this decrepit body, because of what we see. Paul said, we do not look at that which we see, the outward, because we know that it's perishing with the use and it's temporal, it's passing away. But what we look at is that inward man that is being renewed day by day. And that inward man is who we are. We are his son. We are a spiritual being. We are not just flesh and blood. We are a spiritual being. That the totality of the Godhead dwells within us. and that everything that we need to walk into manifestation is already within us. There's nothing outside of us that we can look to. God is dwelling within us in totality, in His fullness. As all of the power of the Godhead dwelt in Christ, all of the power of the Godhead dwells in us. Think of that. The God that fills the universe, yet we are His dwelling place. We are His temple. We are the building that has been built together, fitted together, stone upon stone, as a habitation, a dwelling place for the Father. We are His. So why would we criticize the handiwork of God? I'm speaking to myself too. Because He has torn down the walls. You see, we are seeing what He's saying about us. You are my son. You are my child. Not will be someday. Not after some kind of a rapture, or not on some streets of gold, or not in the wild blue yonder, but today, in this moment, hallelujah, we are the sons of God that have been called out of darkness and have already been placed in the kingdom of His dear Son, who are seated with Him in heavenly places. You see, we are being changed by the words of life that He is speaking within us. He is opening our spiritual eyes and our spiritual understandings to see the reality of who we are. Health is already in us. Healing dwells within us. Victory dwells within us. He said, we're more than conquerors. We overwhelmingly conquer. We're predestinated to be conquerors. Greater is He that liveth within you than he that liveth within the world. We are now His sons. That's what 1 John says. Now we are the sons of God. And with sonship, there come certain privileges. Hallelujah. Your children and my children have certain privileges as being our children. Certain legal rights as being our children. And we as sons of God have certain legal rights as being a child of the Almighty Creator of this universe. And He's opening our understanding to see those things that He is saying about us. He's torn down that middle wall of separation. There is absolutely nothing between God and us today. All of it's been destroyed. And the only limitations of what we think and what we know and what we're entering into in this hour, the only limitation we have is in our mind or in our soul, in our stinking thinking. And that is being changed and altered and metamorphosed every day by the presence and the Spirit and the Word of God that is bringing forth the Christed life within us. How great and how mighty is the God that we walk with. And I like to say that. I know people say we serve, but I like to say the God that we walk with. The reality of the Almighty that we're walking with in this hour. The light, the illumination of His light is illuminating the pathway that we're taking in this hour. And that pathway is leading us into immortality and incorruption. That pathway is leading us into total deliverance, healing, and a life that is a manifested Son of God in the earth. His light, His illumination is bringing us into a higher realm of consciousness day by day. And He's unveiling His word of reality within us. Amen.